This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Qala Allahu ta'ala fi at-tanzil al-'aziz ba'da naqulu a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون وقال يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال انك لا تهدي من احببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو اعلم بالمهتدين. I want to share a story with you today. A story that happened with the Prophet ﷺ, and a story that's referenced in the background or as the backdrop of the ayah that I just recited, ayah number 56 from Surah 28, Surah Qasas. The translation of the ayah is as follows: truly you do not guide those who you love, rather Allah guides who He wants, and He knows best who is looking for guidance and who isn't. The backdrop of this ayah is the Prophet ﷺ was inviting his dear beloved uncle, Abu Talib, to Islam. And this was in the moments, the last moments of the life of Abu Talib, the last moments of his life as he was about to pass away. The description of it goes as follows. لَمَّا حَذَرَتْ وَفَاتُ أَبِي طَالِبْ أَتَاهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ. When it was time for Abu Talib to pass away, he was on his bed and he was about to pass away. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ visited him and said to him, Ya Ammah, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ لَكَ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet said to his uncle, Oh my dear uncle, say La ilaha illallah. Testify that there is only one deity worthy of worship, that's only Allah. And then if you say that, then I will have something to argue on the Day of Judgment on your behalf. I will be the one testifying that you are a believer on the Day of Judgment. Just give me this, please. Say La ilaha illallah. And as the Prophet ﷺ is reminding his uncle of this in his very last moments, next to Abu Talib, next to the Prophet's uncle, is sitting Abu Jahl. Next to him, is Abu Jahl. Next to him is another leader of Quraysh. And they are telling Abu Talib. They tell Abu Talib, Abu Talib, are you going to leave the way of Abdul Muttalib? Are you going to leave the millah of Ashiyakh? Will you leave the legacy, the way of your forefathers? And this battle is raging. The Prophet is telling his uncle, Ya uncle, say La ilaha illallah. And Abu Jahl is saying, you're going to leave the religion of your father? You will leave our religion before you die? And this continued until Abu Talib said that لَوْلَا أَن تُعَيِّرَنِي بِهَا قُرَيْشِ يَقُولُنَ مَا حَمَلَهُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا جَزَعُ الْمَوْتِ لَأَقْرَرْتُ بِهَا عَيْنَكِ. He said, Oh my nephew, if it wasn't that Quraysh would say, this man gave in at the last moments of his life, and they would criticize me, call me weak. If that wasn't the case, I would have surely accepted Islam. I would have made you so happy. But he died saying, عَلَى مِلَّةِ الْأَشْيَاخِ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. He died saying that I'm not a believer. And at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, that you do not guide who you love. It is Allah who guides who He wants. This story, or this incident in the backdrop of this ayah, is narrated in many books of Sirah, and there's many things that we can learn from this. And I want to focus on three main lessons that we can extract from this particular really, really saddening story. Firstly, we have to understand who Abu Talib was, the uncle of the Prophet. Who was this man? Maybe you know, maybe you don't know. He was the brother of the Prophet's father. He was the elder brother of the Prophet's father. The Prophet's father, as you know, Abdullah passed away before the Prophet was born. While he was in the womb of his mother, his father passed away. So Abu Talib was the man who acted as the father for the Prophet. After the Prophet's grandfather passed away, Abu Talib was the man who took the Prophet in his home and raised him like a son. Raised him like his very own son. The Prophet ﷺ lived with him from when he was 6 years old until when he was a grown man and he married and moved out. So literally, the Prophet ﷺ grew up in this house. Abu Talib not just raised him as a son, but also established the Prophet ﷺ as a businessman. We have narrations where Abu Talib would go to Asham, the area of the Levant, and he would go there for business and trade, and the Prophet ﷺ would be accompanying Abu Talib and learning from his uncle the tricks of trade and business. And through this actually is how he got married to Khadija, because Khadija radiallahu anha saw that here's a young man who's a trader from Quraysh, and he's a noble and honest man of integrity, and she proposed to the Prophet ﷺ and they got married. But despite knowing the Prophet ﷺ better than any one of us would ever know the Prophet ﷺ, literally, nobody knew the Prophet ﷺ better as a human being than Abu Talib did. Because the Prophet ﷺ literally grew up in front of his eyes. Despite knowing him that well, this man still did not accept Islam. This is a man who would say about the Prophet ﷺ, he was a very eloquent poet. He would compose these beautiful lines of poetry about the Prophet ﷺ. He would say, فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ أَجِيَ بِسُبَّةٍ تَجُرُّ عَلَى أَشْيَاخِنَا فِي الْمَحَافِلِ لَكِنَّ تَبَعْنَاهُ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالَةٍ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ جِدًّا غَيْرَ قَوْلِ التَّهَازُلِ لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا أَنَّ ابْنَنَا لَا مُكَذَّبٌ لَدَيْنَا وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. Very beautiful lines of poetry, in which he says that we all know our son, the Prophet ﷺ, is a man of truth. We know he never tells lies. We know also he's never wrong. وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. When he says something, he's right. We know that. Yet, he did not accept Islam. There was a very interesting incident that happened when the Prophet ﷺ's da'wah, when his message was gathering steam, people were accepting Islam. The leaders of Quraysh, the leaders of Makkah, did not like this. They did not want a religion that called only to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were actually very multicultural and multi-faith. You could come and worship any god you want. You could be a Christian and you could worship Isa alayhi salam at the Kaaba. You could worship whoever you wanted, as long as you were like, you know what, your religion's okay and my religion's okay. That was the deal with Quraysh. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, only Allah is to be worshipped. And they couldn't stand that. So when that momentum, or that da'wah was gaining momentum, they came to the Prophet ﷺ's uncle, Abu Talib. And they said, oh Abu Talib, you better stop your nephew. You better stop your nephew. إِمَّا أَن تُخَلِّيَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُ فَنَكْفِيَكَهُ. Stop him or we're going to do something about it. So Abu Talib now, cornered by these leaders of Makkah, does what? Speaks to his nephew. Says, oh nephew, you know, can you do something about this? The Prophet ﷺ replied in a very beautiful way to his uncle. He said, oh uncle, لو وضعوا الشمس في يميني والقمر في يساري ما تركت هذا الأمر حتى يظهره الله. He says, in a very iconic statement, if they were to place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I would not stop calling people to this cause. Meaning, it doesn't matter what material promises they make, what if they want me to become the leader of Quraysh, they want to give me money, I don't care what they offer. That's not my intent. My intent is to call people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they gave me the whole world, I'm not stopping. At that moment, Abu Talib had a very difficult choice. Do I stick by my nephew, even though I'm not the same religion as him? I don't accept the religion that he is following and preaching. Or do I step away from this conflict and let him deal with the people of Quraysh? It's a very difficult decision. But he made the courageous decision. to step in between the Prophet ﷺ and Quraysh. And he warned Quraysh, if you dare touch my nephew, it's war. Even though me and you are the same religion, I'm gonna fight you if you come and do something to my nephew. He stood up and defended the Prophet ﷺ and protected the Prophet ﷺ from harm in that very difficult moment, in those very difficult years. Even to the point where the people of Makkah gathered to lay a siege against Abu Talib and his clan, Banu Hashim, and they were literally starving to death, still this man did not give up the Prophet ﷺ. At the expense of his own life and own well-being. And he is not even a Muslim. And he would say things like, وَاللَّهِ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ بِجَمْعِهِمْ حَتَّى وَسَّدَ فِي التُّرَابِ دَفِينَا فَصْدَ بِأَمْرِكَ مَا عَلَيْكَ غَضَاضًا وَأَبْشِرْ وَقَرَّ بِذَاكَ مِنْهَا مِنْكَ عُيُونًا وَدَعَوْتَنِي وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّكَ نَاصِحِي لَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَكُنْتَ ثَمَّ أَمِينًا وَعَرَضْتَ دِينًا قَدْ عَرَفْتُ بِأَنَّهُ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. Allahu Akbar. He said, no one can touch you, oh nephew, no one can touch you as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm not buried in the sand. He says, go and do what you're commanded, and whatever you have, whatever you need to do, you do. I am here to support you. And I know you are advising me. عَرَفْتُ عَنَّكَ نَاصِحِي. I know you mean well. And I know the religion you are asking me to accept is the best religion. مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. I know all of that. But لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارِ مَسَبَّةً لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. What if it wasn't that I was afraid of what people would say? But people will blame me. People will say, this man gave up his religion. He was weak. If it wasn't for that, I would have gladly accepted your faith. This was this man. This was Abu Talib. He knew the Prophet ﷺ better than anybody else. He protected the Prophet ﷺ through thick and thin. To the worst imaginable circumstances, he protected the Prophet ﷺ. And you could argue he gave up his life to protecting and defending the Prophet ﷺ. He knew Islam was the truth, as well as, if not better than anybody else who's ever lived. Because he knew the Prophet ﷺ better than anybody else. He saw the truthfulness from his own eyes. And not just the Prophet, his own sons, Ja'far radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, all of them accepted Islam in front of his eyes. So he knew 100% what the message was all about. But he still did not accept Islam. He didn't die as a Muslim. Can you imagine? The lesson that we can extract from this, brothers and sisters, is number one. This gift that we have of Islam, Allah gave it to us. He didn't give it to the Prophet's uncle. He gave this gift to me and you. He did not give it to the most dear, the most beloved person to the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Talib. What does that say about us if we don't value this gift? What does that say about us if we're not thankful to Allah for the gift of Islam? We have to value this blessing, the greatest gift that we have, we have to truly value this gift. We have to value it, brothers and sisters, by being thankful to Allah. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. We have to value this gift by being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Hanbali, a scholar of the Hanbali fiqh, he would say, الصَّلَاةُ شُكْر وَالصِّيَامُ شُكْر وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ تَعْمَلُهُ شُكْر تَعْمَلُهُ لِلَّهِ شُكْر. He said that when you pray, that is an act of gratitude. When you fast, that's an act of gratitude. Any good deed a person does, that's an act of gratitude. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about our faith in the Quran, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ, ask for the gift of your Lord, فَحَدِّثْ. Then be thankful about it. Talk to people about it. Spread the good that is in it. We have to, brothers and sisters, see this religion not as a burden, not as something that makes our life difficult. We have to understand how incredible of a gift it is and how lucky and blessed we are to have received it. When the Prophet's uncle, who did far more than any one of us could ever do, didn't get that gift. We have to understand his value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Dawood alayhi salam in the Quran, he says, اعملوا آل داود الشكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور. He says to Dawood alayhi salam and the family of Dawood, the family of David, he says to them, work, O family of David, to express and to show your gratitude. For very few people are truly thankful to Allah. The اعملوا آل داود شكرًا. The word شكرًا here is linguistically what's called مفعول له. It's, you know, it's in the status of نصب. It has two فتحas, شكرًا. And there's a reason that the reason provided for that is it's مفعول له. Why are you being thankful? It's because you want to be. Why are you doing something? اعملوا. Why are you doing things that are acts of or manifestations of faith? The answer to that question, the why behind it is shukran, to express gratitude. To express gratitude for being chosen to be a part of this ummah. To be chosen to have accepted Islam or to be given, to have been given the gift of Islam. To express our gratitude. The Prophet would express his gratitude in the most incredible way. He would pray, إِذَا صَلَّى قَامَ حَتَّى تُفَطِّرْ رِجْلَاهُ. He would pray until his feet would crack up. Meaning they would swell, they would become, you could visibly see that they're swelling there. And Aisha, his wife, would ask him, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَتَصْنَعُ هَذَا وَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. She would say, O Messenger of Allah, you're doing all of this and Allah has already forgiven you. You're already guaranteed paradise. Like, why do you have to go that far? Why do you have to pray for that long when you're already a person of paradise? That's a factual statement. And the Prophet says, يَا عَيْشَ أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful, grateful servant to my Lord? Should I not be a thankful, grateful servant to my Lord? The gratitude for being a Muslim, the gratitude for showing that we are blessed, that Allah chose us, comes through our actions, comes through or is expressed by our devotion to the acts of faith. And those acts of faith are small and large. Daily, like salah, and once in a while. But they're all acts of our devotion, an expression of our devotion, an expression of our gratitude. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa la amma ba'd. I was sharing with you in light of the ayah, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. Indeed, Allah guides, indeed you do not guide who you love, but Allah guides who He wants. In the backdrop of this ayah was the story of Abu Talib's death and him refusing to accept Islam even on his deathbed while the Prophet of Allah is pleading him to accept Islam. And there's three things I wanted to talk about. One is, firstly, we understand who Abu Talib was. And once we understand who Abu Talib was, we could understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this gift of Islam. Lesson two. This gift of Islam was not given to him, but it was given to us. So we have to value it. We have to express our thankfulness for being those who were chosen. Because the most dear person to the Prophet was not chosen for this. But me and you were. So we have to express our gratitude to Allah. Our gratitude, lesson number two, is expressed through our acts of devotion, through our acts of worship. It goes from the smallest thing, like a smile in the face of your brother, a good word said to somebody to cheer them up, a helping hand that can be given to somebody to get them out of a difficult situation. and also in the way we do our ritual worships and the acts of spirituality. All of those are expressions of our gratitude. اعملوا آل داود شكرا. The last point is, or the last lesson is, we have to protect this gift of Islam. We've been given this gift. We understand, or we hope to understand the value of it. We hope to try to live up to the blessing of this gift. But we also have to protect it from bad influences, from fear, irrational fear. You look at Abu Talib. What was his reasoning for not accepting Islam? Did he not know the Prophet is not a prophet? Did he not know that the Quran is a miracle? Did he not see the truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ and the message? He saw all of that. His poetry that I quoted you repeatedly talks about how he knows the Prophet ﷺ is the truthful Prophet, and there's no doubt about it. But he was afraid. Irrationally afraid of people saying, ah, see, his nephew was calling for Islam, so he accepted Islam. He left the religion of his father. That irrational fear, fear of what people say, fear of others' perception, that literally is what stopped this man from accepting Islam. He didn't need to be convinced about the truthfulness of the faith. He was convinced. It was the fact that he was afraid of what people would say. So this kind of negative influence, we have to protect this gift of Islam from it. We have to protect the gift of Islam from the negative influence of bad friends and bad company. Abu Jahl, the enemy of the Prophet ﷺ, an enemy of Islam, this man was at the deathbed of Abu Talib and he was dying. And he is the one who kept reminding him, hey, are you going to leave the religion of Abdul Muttalib? Will you leave the religion of your forefathers? Are you going to do this while you're dying? And literally, this man prevented the Prophet's uncle from becoming a Muslim in those last moments of his life. The bad influence that comes from having bad friends, of keeping bad company, of having bad input. If you're consuming media that is vulgar, that talks about vulgarity, that praises vulgarity, that glorifies promiscuity, what does that do to our soul? What does that do to our soul and how we view the values of Islam? These are all things that have to be considered. These are all considerations that we have to make to protect this gift of Islam. Abu Talib did not accept Islam. He did not accept Islam because he was afraid. He did not accept Islam because he had bad friends. We have to protect the religion that we have been given, the blessing that we have been chosen to hold by removing bad influences, by removing irrational fears from our life. That is how we value this gift of Islam. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and Sunnah, to implement it in our lives. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala